Thank you. Thank you. God bless you for allowing me to be here. Would you take your Bibles, please, and open them to the book of Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. Brother Steve wrote me a letter, said that I had 30 minutes. So I'm Fred Keene. That's all I'm going to say about that. And it all started for me in Mount Abiram, believe it or not. I think I was 27 years old. And I heard of Dr. Ralph McCoy in Mexico, and I had not been on a mission field in my lifetime. I started pastoring when I was 24 in Milford, Ohio, and I just went to see the field. I did not go to get infected. But Brother McCoy was such a great man in my life and changed the direction of my ministry. We came back and had a missions conference with three different men, and God did turn our church around literally, and it's never been the same. And then some years later, God did another work in my heart. I had always been involved in missions, but He showed me from Romans chapter 15, verse 9. I'm not going there this morning, but He showed me why we're to do missions. I always did what I did because I was told to have a burden for souls, and I think that's right. But Paul said that we're to do it for the glory of God. And that sounds so simple, but it set me upside down. And then I learned where we're to do it. He said, to the ends of the earth. And so that changed my direction. And then I learned who is to do it. And, of course, that's the church. So I want to make this suggestion to you that every generation is responsible for his generation of those that sit in darkness. Every generation is responsible for those in his generation that sits in darkness. Who do you think is responsible? Maybe you think some parachurch organization is, but you couldn't be a good Baptist and even believe in a parachurch organization. Thank you, Brother Keene. Maybe you think they're responsible. They shouldn't be there. Well, you didn't make a choice where you were born. And so they're there. Somebody must be responsible to help them get the light. Maybe you think nobody's responsible. Maybe you think it's God's fault. But I did learn, and it helped me, and I learned that church is responsible. And I know you know all that, but I just want to tell you that. In Matthew chapter 4, would you go please to verse 12? And I'll read down through verse 18, and then I'll make my prayer. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Elias the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, this is my text, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and them which sat in the regions and shadow of death, light sprang up. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Our Lord, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know the folks that are here have an interest and have a knowledge. So, Lord, maybe you could just anoint our faces with oil and anoint our hearts with your spirit and bring us to a great desire to reach the whole world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'll thank you for it. I love you, Lord. And I love these folks. And I pray in your name. Amen. I suggest that every generation is responsible for those in that generation that sit in darkness. I used to be involved in missions in a participation way. I wanted to participate. And I did, in a big way. And then one day I realized participation was not God's goal for me. Completion was God's goal. He didn't want me to be a part of it. He wanted to be a part of completing it. And that changed me. But every generation is responsible for those that sit in darkness in their generation. I think we can prove that by Abraham. Abraham was told to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. He had a responsibility to his generation. Jesus said here in our verse that they that sat in darkness saw great light. He talked about the responsibility of our generation, his generation, to those in darkness. Paul talked about in Romans chapter 15, verse 19. He said, I'm going where they haven't heard and where they haven't seen. May I say to you, we have a responsibility for those in our generation that are still in darkness. I think I'll say that again. We have a responsibility for those in our generation who sit in darkness. Jesus said, go to all nations. Mark, it says, every creature. Luke, all nations. Acts, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. So I want to kind of encourage you to realize that we have a whole world on our hands. I think I've probably said this here maybe, but Isabella Kuntz said this. She said that she believed, and she was a church historian, and I believe this too, that God has called enough people in every generation to evangelize that generation. Now think about that. If half our world is not evangelized, that must mean somebody is out of the will of God. God has given enough resources in every generation to evangelize that generation. Now here in our reading, the folks were sitting in darkness. You know what causes darkness? One thing. The absence of light. Isn't that deep? And nothing will dispel darkness but light. Now I'm really over your head. Amen. And you come in this room and fill this room with water. If it's dark, it's dark after it's filled with water. Water doesn't dispel darkness. Education doesn't dispel darkness. Art doesn't dispel darkness. Culture and couth doesn't dispel darkness. Only thing that dispels darkness is light. And if we're going to work on those in our generation in darkness, we need to get them light. Let me tell you where light resides, the light of God in the Bible. The entrance of thy word giveth light. So what should we get them? We should get them the word of God. They're in darkness. Think how much darkness they're in because they don't have the light of this precious book. Think what they don't know that you do know because you have a book. They have no idea they could meet their mother again. They have no idea they could go to heaven. They have no idea they have a loving God who gave his son. They're in darkness. So we need to get the word of God to them. The second thing we ought to get to them, we ought to get them a church. Because the church is a pillar and ground of the truth. The church is salt and light. So we need to get them a Bible and get them a church. And then, of course, the greatest thing we ought to get them is the knowledge of Jesus. Because he is the light of the world. So they sit in darkness because they don't have a Bible and they don't have a church. And they don't know about the dear Lord Jesus. And our generation should assume the responsibility of doing that. Not only should we do it, but I think that we of all generations of humankind have the ability to do it. No generation like this generation has had the ability to do what God wants done, I think. He wants the world evangelized, and we have the greatest possibility of doing that. Now, Brother Keene, why do you say that? Number one, because we have an empowered church. We have an empowered church. full of the Spirit of God and power. Can I give you a verse? Would you look at Isaiah 49, 6 one time? I want to show you this, if you let me. Isaiah 49, 6. Here's a wonderful thing that'll keep you thinking and keep you awake at night. In Isaiah chapter 49, and let me show you verse 6. And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel." What he's saying in that, for that verse, he says it's a light thing. And the word light there, if you go to the Hebrew, Bill does that, I don't do that, I go to Strong's. So if you go to the Hebrew, light means trifle. He says a trifle thing if all you're doing is caring for Judah and Israel. It's a trifle thing if all you're doing is working in your field where you are. I don't care how big your field is and how big your church is, it's a trifle compared to 7 billion people. He said, it's a trifle. What you're doing is a trifle of what I've empowered you to do. What have you empowered us to do? Look at verse 6. He said, it's a light thing, a trifle thing, that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and the preserve of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. He said, I haven't called you just to build in Jerusalem or in Israel. I have called you to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank God for whatever you're doing in your area, but we need to have a world vision. Now, I want to attack this from a positive standpoint. Would you go back to chapter 4 of Matthew? Here's the good news. If you read verse 16, they got it. They got it. Glory to God. The people which sat in darkness saw. They got it. Yeah. In the region of the shadow of death, light sprang up. Over in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it said, some will be there to worship him from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, because they got it. Amen. Revelation 7, 9 is a repeat. They got it. You know, I used to work on this in the negative, and it's not working too good in the negative. I think I'll just go ahead and our preacher this morning in the prayer meeting talked to us about believing God. And I want to tell you some reasons that we can do it. Number one, of course, is because we are in an empowered church. So I'm a member of the most powerful organization on earth, the church. We have enough power to get the gospel around the world. Why don't I believe that? Why don't we get our eyes, lift our eyes up and believe that we have we're in a church that's powerful enough because we have the power of God. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, because I'm going to give you the power to get the job done. Here's a second reason. He's placed you in the most advanced time in human history. This most advanced time. I don't know anything about iPads. I don't know anything about Facebook. The other day, somebody wrote me something on Facebook. I tried to answer it and got an answer from Australia. So I have no idea how I did that. But the technology we have, I'm just entertained by GPS. Aren't you? I wonder what she does when I'm not driving. Sometimes she says, please turn around as soon as you can, and I tell she's agitated because she said that so much. I got my first GPS 57 years ago. Ha, ha, ha. You get that later. When I was a kid, I used to read a funny paper. And old Dick Tracy talking to his watch, and I get so excited about watching him do that. Now, I got a cell phone. The other day I was preaching this song of truth. They had a sign in the lobby, please turn your cell phone off before you go in. And I didn't, and it went off while I was preaching. Now, what would you do about that? You know what I did? I took it out of my pocket. What else can you do? I said, Lord, I'm busy, I'll call you back. They put it in their pocket, and everybody laughed like you did, and I was off of that. But I mean, you think of the technology we have. Why couldn't we get around the world with the gospel? Do you know you're only 17 hours from the most pagan, farthest place from where you sit? Used to be taking 4 months on a boat to get there. I'm going to Mongolia. Somebody asked me this morning, I think Brother John asked me, if he's a young man, what would you do and where would you go? I'd go to Mongolia. First time I went there, I thought, God, you might love him, but that's as far as it goes. But you know, I found out if you love, you end up loving those that you love. And so I love God and He loves Him. Anyway, think of the advanced technology we have. We can fly, we have a dish, we have email, we have all those kind of things. We can put a man on the moon, but we can't get a man in Mongolia. Anyway, here's a third reason that I believe we've got to be encouraged we can do it, because it's the business world. And that's probably not too impressive to you, but if you'd travel around a lot, you'd see that Walmart's there. First time I went to Mexico with Brother McCoy, I went to a village and they didn't know God from a goose, but they had a bear aspirin sign as you walked in the village. And they had Singer sewing machine there in one of the shops. They hadn't heard God, but the business world had got there. And I have a funny sense of humor, and sometimes I watch these missionaries talking about missions, and behind them is a Walmart or a famous fried, what do you call it, chicken, you know, or a Taco Bell. I mean, the business world got there. If they can get there for their profits, can't we get there for our God? Anyway, I want to tell you this. We ought to be encouraged we can do it because of Bible example. You better explain that, Brother Keene. When Romans chapter 1 and chapter 16 talk about the church at Rome had gotten the gospel to the whole world. Now, you can argue what that means as long as you want to. It means they're doing pretty good. That's what it means, isn't it? Same thing said in 1 Thessalonians. So we have Bible example, and they did it. Here's the other thing, and I'll leave this. We ought to be encouraged about doing it because we have 12,000 partners if we could ever get together. Right there. 12,000 partners. Jesus said we have to have some unity. Now, you know, I've been picked on and beat up, and I'm so old, I don't care. I said one time in the book I wrote, we need ecumenicalism within the parameters of fundamentalism. And man, oh man, you'd have thought I said the Pope was a Christ. What do you mean by that, Brother King? Anybody's got him. I don't want to say that. What I meant was that we ought to be able to get along within our own family. I mean, we know where we quit being fundamentalists and become neos. We know where that is. We're not going to go that far. But you don't let people go to hell over screens or your choice of music or a preposition. We got 12,000 people. There's 12,000 churches in this country alone that you could belong to. Maybe not as good a preaching as this one, and not as good a music as this one, and not as pretty a building as this one, but the truth is the same. We got 12,000 churches. We only have 6,000 people groups without the Bible. Well, we just ought to decide we can do it. Light can spring up. They can see the light. If we just work together, we have no excuse why they're sitting in darkness. What should I do, Brother Keene? Well, I'm not an authority on this, but here's what I think would be a good idea. Why don't you dedicate to it? And why don't you dedicate to it before all your problems are solved? I mean, I can't answer all of it. I don't have any idea how it's all going to get done, but I'm dedicated to it. I found out Problem solution comes after dedication. Thank you, Brother King. See, Philip, John, Brother Wilkerson talked about Philip. Philip last night, he didn't get in because he's trying to tabulate before. He had to work it all out before he got on board. Andrew, he said, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to try to make it happen. And he signed on, and guess what? Found the solution. So whatever your problem is, why don't you just dedicate to it? I think we've got to dedicate to it before we get all the problems solved. I think we've got to dedicate to it now. You know, I've been preaching this for 12 years. And I'm tired of informing people. I'm calling for decision. I think that every church ought to decide that I'm going to be a part of getting the gospel around the world for the Lord Jesus Christ and for God's glory. I'm dedicating to that. And whatever that means, it means. See, you know what? If you don't dedicate now, you're out of luck. Because you can't dedicate to the past generation, and you can't dedicate to the future generation. The only generation you can dedicate to is this generation. And half of this generation is sitting in darkness. You're either going to help this generation or you're going to help no generation. I think I'll say that again. You're either going to help this generation now or help no generation that's sitting in darkness. I'm going to quit and I'm going to give you this. I think if we're going to make the decision to get them the light, we must answer some hard questions. Now I'm going to give you these, and then I'm going to sit down, and I hope you be nice to me. The question is not how many souls have you won. The question is how many churches have you planted. That should be the question. And the question should also be not how many churches have you planted, but how many, but where have you planted them? This church, my church, your church. We ought to be soul winning, of course. But how many how many churches does your church start on the mission field through your missionaries? That'd be a good thing to figure out. And then, is any of them where the gospel is not? Here's a second question I want to ask you. Not how many ministries and programs you have, but how many of those ministries and programs are directly contributing to world evangelism. We become a full-service bank. If you need it, we got it. You need aerobics? That's an aisle. That's in room 709. You need sports? You want to go to camp? You want to have a graded choir? You want to have a school? And I'm not against all that. I pastored for 35 years and had most of that. My question is, should we be involved? Could we be involved in too much to where by the time missions comes around, our people are employed and our finances are depleted and we can't do much because we have got too involved in good stuff? I want to give you a verse that kind of challenges me. Would you look at 1 Timothy one time, just a moment? I'm going to show you a verse. I don't know. This is a, you've probably seen this, but in 1 Timothy chapter 5, would you look at verse 16? 1 Timothy 5:16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them believe, let them receive them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. You know what verse 16 says? There are some things we ought not be involved in. God hadn't assigned us to solve all the problems of the world. He said the widows, that was a bona fide problem. Young widows, that was a bona fide problem. But Paul said, don't let the church be charged for that responsibility. You know why? Because somebody else has been charged with that responsibility, and that's the family. And the government has some God-ordained responsibility. So there are things that maybe we ought to stay out of so what we're supposed to be in, we can do the very best we can. Thank you, Brother King. So, but I do think that we ought to think about that. Here's the last thing, and then I'll pray. Just how needful are we to God in His program of world evangelism? Just how needful is our church to God in His program of world evangelism? How needful are we to God? Say, well, God don't need anything. You ought to read the whole book. He needed a colt one time. Remember? He needed a manger. God has ordained certain things, and in those certain things, He's written in need, and God is not going to do it except through us. I don't think God's going to do it except through the church. So if that's true, how needful is your church to God in the area of getting light to those in darkness? I'm going to give you this verse. Would you look at it? Look at the Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verse 13. Matthew 5:13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing. That's a tough verse right there. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we have nothing else to do. The world can do what it does better than we can do what it does. Let them do it. Because we have something very important to do, and if we don't do that, then we don't have much purpose. I think there are two things Christians have a hard time in believing when it comes to world evangelism. One is, I believe they have a hard time believing it can be done. It can be done. I think if we're honest, we have a hard time, Brother John talked about last time, we have a hard time believing it can be done. The other thing I think we have a hard time believing that we won't admit, does it need to be done? Does it really need to be done? Do those who have not heard go to hell? Well, you better take God's word on that. It can be done because He assigned it to us, and it needs to be done or they're going to hell and He won't be worshipped. The good news is light sprang up if we dedicate to it. John Kinley, 1960, said, let's dedicate to put a man on the moon. In 1969, Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. If we can put a man on the moon in 8 or 9 years, can't we get the gospel around the world in 2000? Let's pray. Our Lord, some sermons are easy to preach, some sermons are fun to hear. Some are neither easy to preach nor easy to hear. But Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we could set those free who are in darkness for your glory. Amen. Thank you.